Praise the Lord. I just ran across this late this afternoon, so I wanted to bring this to your attention. Probably most of you read it already, but I'm going to read it to those who didn't, and you're going to read along with me. So many things have been said about the great outpouring, and so many of God's children still don't believe it because they're not living like they believe it. They're still living like they're going to hell in a handbasket. And it's time you understand that God is going to have this great outpouring. He doesn't care if you're in it or not. He just doesn't. There are those who do want the outpouring, and those are the ones who are going to receive it. This is a lady from New York, Elaine. She always has great prophetic words. Outpouring of new wine. Excuse me. For these are not drunk as you suppose. This is Acts 2:15-18. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, so, and on my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit, and those days now they shall prophesy. Shall, not maybe, but shall. Then she said, recently I had a dream about a minister who I know personally named Easter. In the dream, I was in a church, and Easter came over and greeted me with a hug. She was wearing a red and black dress, and she said to me, that was a wonderful word that you shared last night. Then she said, I will open up the bottle, and you will pour it out. I knew that this was a prophetic dream filled with symbolism. When I began to write it down, the Holy Spirit said, I am releasing the new wine, and I will use you to pour it out, this Elaine person, all right? The name Esther represented resurrection power. The colors red and black in the dress were symbolic of black death to the flesh and the midnight hour, and red, the blood of Jesus, as well as the prophetic anointing. Do you see that? All right, the black in the dress were symbolic of black death to the flesh and the midnight hour. We are in the midnight hour. And red, the blood of Jesus, as well as the prophetic anointing. The hug was a spiritual impartation. The bottle and the pouring was symbolic of the new wine and the latter-day outpouring. Pentecost, another outpouring, is about to begin, Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the book of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were in the upper room, in one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. They were so intoxicated with the glory of God that some of the onlookers thought that they were drunk with wine. Peter went on to say, these men were not drunk, as you suppose, and he quoted the prophecy from Joel 2:28-32. Now I want to stop there. It says here, they were all in one accord. Then the Holy Spirit filled them. And Sister Elaine talked about being in unity this morning. Now, I haven't had any trouble in my heart, all right? Yesterday, or late last night, all of a sudden I got very angry, and my heart started acting up. And I found out later it's because somebody else was angry with me, and my heart still bothered me today because that person still has not relented to God about how they confronted me. Now, see, we're not in unity. It's in this church. We're not in unity in this church. So if you think you're going to sit here and ride on my coattails, God said that was never going to be. He said he would remove you before he poured out his spirit. You're going to have to get your life together. You're going to have to live in your holiness, and you cannot count on what God's going to do through me. And I know what he's going to do through me. But it really behooves me to think that you people would sit here in this church and cause my heart to be messed up again after all these months of and I'm all swollen and everything else. I can't hardly breathe right now because of the ugliness of your thoughts towards me. Do you understand this? Do you understand how we are inflicting wounds upon each other? because I call it stupidity. Because if you do things like that, you're pure stupid. Because God is not mocked. That everything you poured out on me is going to come back on you now. And I feel sorry for you. I really do, because that doesn't have to be. We're all supposed to be working for one goal. To see the lost souls healed, saved, delivered, set free. Now in the book of Acts chapter 4, when they were being threatened, they prayed and asked the Lord for boldness to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Jesus. The building then literally shook. See, because they were one mind, one accord, one spirit, unity, they boldly could go before God and ask him to do things. The building then literally shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Another outpouring is about to begin, she says. My resurrection power and rushing wind. The Lord says, I am releasing my resurrection power once again. The winds are stirring and I am releasing a mighty wind of my glory to transform lives suddenly. Multitudes will be brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. My resurrection power shall flow through your hands and you will experience mass healings. Captives will be delivered and set free and many will come with repentant hearts. Now, see, the deliverance ministry in here has died. It totally died. And that's been grieving my spirit because that was the first thing God started us with. And we've had it all these 30 some years. But because of the hearts not being right, it died. And I've been thinking, God, how can I resurrect this, Father? What can I do? And today he said to me, daughter, when the anointing hits you, you won't have to worry about picking anybody to be a deliverance team. My son Jesus is going to deliver the people. Deliverance will come through my son Jesus now because man failed me. So you think that you can't do without you. That's not true. Jesus is the author and finisher of all of our lives and all of our works. And if man doesn't want to do what Jesus wants done, Jesus will come and he'll do it. He will honor my request. Amen. There is a shift in the heavenlies. This is God speaking. I'm stirring the atmosphere to bring change to the church as you know it. He's been saying that through me for years now. Angelic activity is being released from the third heaven, and no man could stop or reverse it. Do not judge things by what you see happening in the natural, but watch what I'm about to do. I am El Shaddai, and I am sending a tsunami of my glory. Just as the winds are blowing in a natural, I'm about to send a mighty rushing wind across the country and around the world. Just as the winds came suddenly in the upper room, I am sending my glory to revamp things in the natural. See this? God doesn't need you guys. He doesn't need any of us. God will get his work done one way or another. God told me months ago, I have a group of unsaved people out here. If the people in the Lighthouse Church don't want to straighten up, I'll remove them and I'll bring these unsaved in. And they're the ones that will bring my glory into the house. Do you understand this? So you're not needed, but God desires you. Because God always has a replacement for you, and for me too. Every one of us can be replaced, and you need to get that through your mind right now. Well, I'm going to start. Just as the winds are blowing in the natural, I'm about to send a mighty rushing wind across this country and around the world. Just as the winds came suddenly in the upper room, I am sending my glory to revamp things in the natural. What I intended for in these last days shall be accomplished. You shall see a great acceleration in the lives of my people. In his people. Now, his people have to be those who are sold totally and completely out to him, 100%. Striving for holiness, not striving for seeing how much you sneak around the corner and do things you shouldn't be, but striving for holiness all the time. You know, what you do in dark, God sees. What you do in dark, God sees. You can't hide anything from God, so if you're trying to hide something from me or from your brother or from your brother or from your sister, God sees. And that's the one that counts. Whether I see it or your brother and sister sees it, does not matter. It's that God sees it. And God knows all things. And he's the one that's going to judge you, not me, or not your brother or your sister. Come on, church. It's time we get this together. I will bring times of refreshing and times of drought. I will bring light to areas where darkness seems to prevail. I am sending the latter and the former rains. My glory will also dwell in the dark places, and in these places my anointing shall be released. As I said in my word, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea, says the Lord. You can see that in Habakkuk 2:14. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil in Joel 2:24. God is going to move with or without you. So it's up to you what your attitude is going to be. Either your attitude is, God, I'm with you 100%, or just go out the door. You can't be with God 99.9, because God said to me years ago when I first started, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% daughter, or walk away right now. You can't hold anything in reserve. You have to give it all to God or walk away. It's just that simple. And I think that this body of Christ has been sitting under the anointing too long to still be in your sin. And I want the glory. And God told me the glory was going to fall in the fall. And, you know, he told me that last year, so I thought it was going to be last fall, and it wasn't. Now I'm believing it's going to be this fall. And fall wasn't too far away. And with or without you, the church is going on. So I want you to think long and hard about what you really want out of God. Make your decision and then go with it. There's plenty of churches out there that won't require anything of you except your finances. That's all they require. They don't require you to walk in holiness. They don't require you to walk in the Spirit. You can sneak around any corner you want to sneak around. But you're not going to go to heaven either. Are you listening? You can't do that. Read the Word. We've been trying to bring the Word across. God has. He's given me words to show you. You have to live holy to be with Him, or don't be at all. Amen. So now Sister Nancy has to come up here and give you a nice refreshing word that God spoke something to her heart. You know, I've been trying to teach her this for years now, but finally, you know, she has a thick head. And God told me one time, He said, when she calls me all upset, God says, let's leave her alone, because no matter what you say, she's not going to believe you really. But she only believes what I show her. So God finally showed it to her. She finally caught on to it. And so now I told her, okay, so now since He put it in your heart, maybe if you give it, they'll listen and take it into their heart. So she's going to come forward now and give you what God showed her. Now glean from what He showed her. Believe me, it's from God, because that's the only way she ever gets anything. Right, Nancy?
Amen. God said He was going to crack this hard head. He cracked her. Through a lot of tears, a lot of pain, and a lot of heartache, He finally got through. I thank God, because it's been a long time that I've been trying to get to where I'm at now in God. And God gave me a prophetic word and said that confusion had completely taken me over. It scared me so bad, I didn't even want to go sleep. So I kept saying, now wait a minute, God. Now wait a minute. Now you told me that your banner over me is love, not confusion. And I kept telling Him, you said in your word that your banner over me is love. And I come here to church and there's the banner there. So God has been giving me confirmation, because I was in a state to where I didn't know if I was hearing from God or not. And I was getting ready for work one morning, and the Lord spoke to me when I was in that state of confusion. And He said, I don't condemn you. And I thought it was loud, and He wanted me to hear it clearly. I said, whoa, wait, is that you, God? I mean, you know. Am I hearing you? But I had went out. I've always had a fear that I would get right to the end and lose out on God completely. And because I never finished anything that I started. And, you know, it was like everybody kept saying, you know, different things about me and to me and, you know, this and that and the other. And it just scared me that I would get right to the end and lose out on God altogether. So I had went out in my building, and I was looking for something. I don't even remember what it was now. And I came across this lesson that Pastor Barber gave us on February 20th, 2011. And it's from Katie Souza. And it says, banking in the glory, financial increase. And this teaching changed my life. And through everything that's been coming across the pulpit, God has been cracking and, you know, tearing away at my mind to where I could finally get into Him, to where He wants me to be. And I started and I said, God, I said, this is between me and You. And I said, every time I called Pastor Barbara, could never get her on the phone. It would upset me a few times. But then I said, you know what, God? It's You and me. We going to get this thing together. And I thank God He did that, because I was depending too much on her. I was all time calling her, you know, God, give you a word. You know, what do I do about this situation? And I'm so sick of this, I could scream, right? But then God put me in a valley. And in this valley, I was either going to find God and climb out of it, or I was going to sink and die. And I'm determined in my heart not to give the devil no victory in my life. And it's like, when I was sitting there, and I would say, okay, God, it's me and You. Now, You called me as an intercessor, be an intercessor. I don't know how to be an intercessor. Do I stand up? Do I lay out? Do I, you know, whatever, sit down, whatever. I need Your direction. I need You to show me how You want me to do this thing. You called me as a prophet, and You called me as a preacher. Now, I can't do these things that You called me to be without Your anointing, without Your direction. So I need to know how You want this thing done. Because I said, I'm not losing out on God. I don't care. And it's like, you know, so I believe God put this study in my hands to show me and to teach me, hey, this is how you do it. And you know that saying that waiting breaks the wagon down? Well, it didn't break my wagon down. It held it together. Because waiting is what, God knows I can't stand waiting. So that's my biggest thing. But during this waiting, God had been showing me and teaching me and, you know, telling me. And through the messages that was going forth and everything, I said, okay, all right, now show me how to do it, right? And then it come across the pulpit that I didn't get it right. He was going to take it. I said, oh, no, I ain't going to have that. I want it to get stronger. I don't want to lose it. Because I know when God gives you something, it's special. And you're a special person. Even though all these years the enemy had in my heart that God didn't want me, God didn't love me. And when I was in my valley, many times he told me, well, you might as well leave the church. Don't nobody care about you. Don't nobody love you. You know? I said, but you know what, devil? You forgot one thing. Jesus loves me. And I don't care who else don't love me. I know for a fact that my Jesus loves me. And He's going to see me through. So you can just take your little imps and go right on back to hell where you came from. You know what I'm saying? And then he would go. But during this study, I'm telling you, God has been, I've been on my face so much in these last 2 weeks that I didn't know if I could walk anymore. I just thought I was supposed to be laying out. But God is good. God knows how to get you to the point where He needs you to be at the time that He needs you to be there. So this must be my time in coming forth, because He sure is bringing me forth with spunk. Always was spunky. So the other day, I called Pastor Barbara. She answered the phone. I said, oh, thank God you answered the phone. I said, I need to vent. I mean, these people had me to where I was like, I was ready to kill them all, right? And I told God, I said, either you bring peace in this house or you get me out of here. That's how bad it had gotten. So, well, he didn't take me out. He didn't get me out of there, so he had to bring peace, right? So, but during this lesson that I was going through, she, you know how when you pray and your mind wanders? And that's the way it was. I would pray, but I could feel a hindrance. That prayer didn't get no further than my mouth because it wasn't going nowhere. So I was sitting there and I was reading over this Banking into Glory. And she was talking about how to get the heavens open over you, right? And I was sitting there and I was reading it and I said, I'm going to try it to see if it works. Because you know how you read a lot of things and you say, yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? God did that for them, but that don't mean he's going to do it for me, right? So I said, I'm going to try this to see if it works. So she was saying how to get into the presence of God and how to pray in the glory, pray in his presence. And I thought, I never heard that before. If I did, I didn't remember it. And that was another thing that I had a problem with because I couldn't remember nothing. You know what I mean? But when God shows you something, when God himself tells you something, it's in there forever. You'll remember it 15 years from now. So when she was saying that how to get the glory to come down, to open up the heavens over you, to where your blessings can come down. And then she started way back in Genesis when God first created the world. He spoke through his glory. He spoke, and it was his glory that created everything. And so she was saying how to get into the presence of God and how when you sit there, you enter his courts with praise, and you enter the gates with thanksgiving, right? So I said, okay, I gotta praise and be thankful. So I started praising God. I started being thankful. And then she said, God will pour into you a love for him. And it's like, when that started happening, it's like, I could see myself sitting back and I said, man, this stuff works, right? So I said, you know, okay, I got that part down good. Now let me go a little bit further and see what, you know, is going to happen. And I know when I get into the presence of God, I cry. Sometimes I feel like the crying prophet, the weeping prophet, because all I do is cry. And it's like, when she was talking about how when you get into the presence, you'll weep. And I knew that because that's what I do. And then she was saying that God, you will feel all this love. And then all this peace will come over you. And she was saying that how... I'm trying to catch up to a little bit. I didn't bring all of it with me because it's 25 pages. So I knew I wouldn't have till tomorrow to give it. So, but anyway, she was leading me and she was guiding me on how to open the heavens above me to get the blessings to come down. And it works. I mean, it works. And it's like, when I get into that place in God to where the peace comes in, and the glory is on me. I won't hurt nobody. And at first, I wanted to kill a 13-year-old rebellious child. You know what I mean? And it's like I wanted out of the situation because I was sick of it. But I found out one thing. When you get in the glory, when you get in the presence of God, nothing bothers you. And it's like I could handle the things that was going on around me. But when I was in my flesh, I couldn't handle nothing. And it's like, wow, God, this stuff really works. So I said, okay. God gave me two visions of getting a lot of money. And he showed me one, I had an angel by my side. And I had this great big pot of gold coins in my hands coming back down from heaven. And I asked God, I said, God, who's that angel? I wouldn't know who it was. So I was sitting there in his presence one morning, and he opened up to me, Daniel. When Daniel was 3 weeks praying about something, and the angel came to him and told him that God heard the prayer the first day he prayed it. Okay? And Michael, the angel, archangel, came down to fight the prince of Persia. And that's what that angel represented. It was Michael. He was doing the battle that I was praying under the open heaven. So God was showing me how to get our finances, how to get our healings, how to get our deliverances through this open heaven that's over us. And she goes on to say that in this study, it says that how do we get our blessings down? How do we, you know, how do we get them tangible? Because I told God, I said, God, I need to feel this money. I need to be able to spend this money. You know what I'm saying? Because the bills are stocking up, right? I need it now. And, you know, one day with the Lord, it says 1,000 years. And I said, Lord, how many thousands of years do we have to wait for our finances to break through, right? So she says, how do we get it down here? It says, the scripture that says, according to his riches, your soul shall prosper, that be in good health, isn't that even as your soul? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And it says, notice the scripture does not say according to his riches in heaven. It uses the word glory. Why? Because heaven is a fixed place. It is the abode of God. It is a fixed place. It's unmovable. So God is a genius. He knew that we would need to be able to get those riches down here. Scripture is very specific about its wording. It's not just general. When we hear the word glory, we automatically equate it with the heavens, and it is used to describe the abode of God. But God did not choose in his wisdom to use the word heaven in that scripture. He used the word glory. Why? Because our riches are stored up in the glory. Heaven is a fixed place, but glory is transferable. That is the way we get it, because it is inside the glory. The glory has created power, and it can be transferred from that fixed abode in heaven down here to earth. That is why Philippians 4:19 says, riches in glory. And then she goes on to say, how many of us has God given us visions and dreams about finances, how he's given us money, or you seen a check in the spirit, a diamond ring, a credit card, or a new car. She said, what do we do with that? Do we just sit on it? No. God is showing you the riches that are contained for you in glory. Now you have to get them out. So what do? You take the dream, you take the vision. You begin to learn to cultivate an open heaven and glory cloud in your home. Then when the glory hits, you begin to speak that vision. You begin to speak that dream into the presence of the cloud. As she says, stop praying for things outside the cloud. How many times have we prayed for different things? How many times has God given us promises that he wants to promise, you know, that he's going to give us? Sometimes it's been 10, 15 years that God has promised us things. Why haven't we gotten them yet? You know? I mean, God's no respecter of persons. If he wants to bless you, you know, and give you what you need, why can't he bless me and give me what I need? And it's like, you know, for one thing, I had to break condemnation off of me, because it's like God will do it for you, but he won't do it for me, which is a lie from the pits of hell. So I had to get over that first before I could, you know, okay, Lord, I need my blessings. It says, we have been praying for things for 10, for 15 years, and they never come to pass. But inside the cloud is accelerated and created power. And it's like, you know, why haven't we tapped into this power? Why haven't we, you know, brought heaven down, the glory down? God created the word, and he spoke through his glory. Jesus, when Jesus walked on the earth, first he opened up the heavens. Then the healings could come forth that Jesus, you know, wanted to perform in the crowd of people. First we have to get the heavens open. God said there's gates, there's doors, and there's windows in heaven. And he wants us to be able to open them things and get his promises that he has promised us. He's tired of us being in poverty. He's tired of us not getting what he has for us. And it's not his fault. It's our fault. Because for one thing, I would go pray and, you know, like I said before, if you're not really fully focused, you're not going to get nowhere. And when you're in this, when you first start praising God and going into his gates with thanksgiving, when you first started doing that, you know the devil's going to try to sidetrack you. But you got to get your focus back on Jesus. You got to stay in the realm that it's Jesus and nothing else. And then that's when that love, you can feel that love pour into you to where you, oh, God, it just takes you over and you can't do nothing but praise him. And it's like, you know, it's like, you just, God, just take me to heaven right now. You know what I mean? And it's like, when I started doing this, I could just feel the Spirit of God with me all day long because I had peace all day long. And I could feel it on my face. I could feel it coming forth. And I prayed for this girl at work because her son had did an overdose. And if it had been five more minutes, he would have died. And she really had a problem with that. And she couldn't, you know, go into her bathroom because that's where she found him. And she, you know, was having a hard time with it. So I went over to her and she was working at the computer, and I went over to her, and I didn't do nothing else. You know, I'm coming to pray for you, girl. I went over and laid hands on her, you know, grabbed a hold of her hand and just said a short prayer. And she was all down in the dumps and everything, and she went over to cry a little bit, and then next thing I know, she was coming back to her old self. And she come to me, she said, I want you to know that that thing that you did with me, that prayer that you did with me, she said, it went all through my body. I said, well, thank God. I said, because that was Jesus. And now she come to me the other day, I need more prayer for my granddaughter. I don't know what it is, but these kids are so rebellious. And I was thinking about it today, and the Lord brought back to my remembrance, I was rebellious too. You know, I did a lot of things that was rebellion against my parents. And it's like, so when we get saved and sanctified, we forget what we were, right? Well, God soon brings it back to your remembrance. He's going to keep you humble one way or the other. He's going to keep you humble. And she was saying that there's different things to do to get the heavens open. And she was saying we should be working and contending not against your worry and your stress, but contending for the glory cloud in your home. And it's like, you know, I said, okay, God, when I first started this, it's only been a couple weeks, you know, so I'm still learning. And she was saying that, you know, you got to contend. You got to go after. You got to, you know, I said, okay, God. I said, it's me. And I said, I'm contending. I'm contending for your spirit. I'm contending for your glory to fall. I'm contending, and I'm not letting you go. Like Joseph said to that, I ain't letting you go till you bless me. Because I want, when I first experienced it, I thought, whoa, I got to have this, right? Because, I mean, it just literally changes you. The things that you couldn't handle, you can handle it. When the people come up in the pharmacy with their attitudes and stuff, I just stand there and smile at them. Before, I'd want to smack them. You know? Go back home. Don't bring your attitude in here. But God, this thing, it just, I can't put it into words, but it changes you. Knowing that you've been with the Father. And I make a point to do it before I go to work. Because I got to have it with all them demons in there. Even the spirits and stuff that flies around in your home and stuff. You need the glory. You need the open heavens over you. So I got, it says, when you go to pay your bills, now this I did too. It says, when you go to pay your bills, before you start writing your checks or doing your electronic transfers, that whatever you do, first worship God. Get into a spirit of worship. Using your thanksgiving to open the gate. Using your praise to cause his glory to fall. Because the word said God inhabits the praises of his people. Get a tangible manifestation of his glory and then begin to speak and command everything that you are writing, all the checks, to multiply. You are going to begin to make money when you pay your bills. When is the last time you put an offering into the bucket and you actually stopped and looked up and commanded the heavens to be open and then command your check, your offering and your seed to multiply in the glory. I didn't do it. I just put my offering in the plate. It was prayed over, so I figured God gonna bless it. You know what I mean? The heavens were open, you know? We have to learn how to open the heavens. And it, Ecclesiastes 11:1. See, what I'm learning too is the word. God has to act on his word. How many times has Pastor Barbara told us that? When you take the word to God, God has to do what his word says, because he's not a liar. And it's his word, and it's spoken in his glory. When he opens up his mouth in his glory, this two-edged sword comes out, cutting and dividing asunder. He will perform his word. And Ecclesiastic 1 says, 11:1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I said, okay, Lord, many days has been here and gone. And then it's like, okay, you've got to perform your word. And see, I never thought you could talk to God like that. I never thought, you know, that you should talk to God like that. But it says contend with him. So contending is, you know, okay, God, this is what your word said. This is it. And you're not a God that you're going to lie. We need to become knowledgeable about the glory. We need to become carriers of the cloud. But the only way you can do that is getting in his presence. Same message. There's nothing new under the sun. First, you have to repent. Repentance is very important, because when you have things like I did the other day when I called Pastor Barbara, man, I was going on. She just sit there and listen. I said, are you there? I don't hear you. You know what I'm saying? Boy, I was just going on, man. I was going 5 mile an hour then, you know. And I had to get it out. I had to get it off my chest, because it was cluttering me up. I couldn't get through to the glory because of all that congestion that was inside me. And then I was complaining about having to take care of my daughter and blah, 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 you know, all this and that and the other. So what did I find in the word? You take care of the poor and God will give it back to you. So that made me feel made like that. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, God, I got you. So then after I got off the phone with her, I went in back into my bedroom. And when God wants me, I can feel a drawing to my bedroom, because ever since I've been doing this, I do it in my bedroom. And it's like his presence is there, you know. The anointing is there. I can tell the difference than the rest of the house. I'd rather be in my bedroom. And so I went back in there, and I had Gloria Copeland and her son-in-law on the TV. And they was talking about the word, how to use the word. Faith comes through the word. And I started reading the word out loud so I could hear it, because faith comes through hearing the word of God. So anyway, they was talking about it and everything. And oh my goodness, something hit me on the inside. And it was like, whoa. So I said, okay, God, here we go. I mean, this is a biggie, right? So they were talking about Mark 11, 22 to 24. It says, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he shall say, that he saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I said, speak to the mountain. Well, our finances is a mountain. Sicknesses is a mountain. So I said, okay, God, we're going to get this thing right. We're going to do it. So I had already had the heavens open over me. His presence was already in the room. And it was like, we're going to do it. So I said, okay. So I went before him. And I said, okay, God. I said, I speak to the mountain of our finances in the name of Jesus. And I read him this scripture. And then I went to Romans chapter 4, and I said, verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So I said, okay, I'm calling this mountain of finances to be removed and cast into the sea. Every time I say it, I get the anointing all over me. So I know God's moving. And I know these mountains are going to be removed. So then I went to Malachi chapter 3. God said, bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. But he didn't stop there. He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So, okay, God, your word says. This is what your word says. I've been bringing my tithes into the storehouse. I've been bringing my offerings into the storehouse. Now you have to pour me out a blessing that I ain't got room enough to contain. This thing is getting real in my spirit. I mean, it's just, thank God. Thank God it's time. You know, it's time that we take God at his word. And when he showed me that angel beside my side, and he showed me in Daniel that it was Michael during the battle that I've been speaking, boy, that threw me overboard. And I mean, when we was coming back from heaven with that great big pot of gold coins, it was like, wow. At first, I didn't know what the angel was or who the angel was or what his purpose was. But God, he opened up my understanding. And see, I've been praying in Ephesians that the eyes of my understanding be opened. You know what I'm saying? I knew more of the word than I thought I did. I didn't think I knew anything. You know? But all of a sudden, these scriptures are coming up. And it's like, hey, you know? So, the other day I was in prayer, in the glory, and I heard gluttony. I said, yeah, gluttony. Yeah. So then I was looking up in my Bible about the scriptures about gluttony. And I found in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. I said, oh, snap. That's why I'm in poverty. Because of gluttony. So you know what gluttony is? Nervousness, compulsive eating, resentment, frustration, idleness, self-pity, and self-reward. And when you have these things on the inside of you, you feed that spirit of gluttony. And you're going to come to poverty because your God is your belly. And it's like, boy, that blew me out of water too. God has opened up so much to me in these last couple weeks. And he is showing me that you have got to have the word. So he showed me the next day, I heard pancreas. So I said, okay, that's healing. So I went in, Isaiah, got the, he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. You know, chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. I said, okay, God, there's 49 stripes on your back. Is it 49 or 39? 39. Sorry. And I said, okay, there's pancreas, there's liver, there's kidneys, there's heart. We need these things healed. So I told him, I said, I'm calling them down out of the heavens to your people. And I said, this poor little girl in the church, if she don't get a liver, she's going to die, Lord, and she ain't going to be able to do what you called her to do. I said, you ain't no respecter of persons. You're going to give it to one, so you got to give it to another. I said, you said you got a room up there in heaven filled with body parts. Your people down here on earth need them body parts. And I've been holding up before him. I'm doing everything I can to get off this medication by the end of this year. Because I don't like taking medication to begin with. And I'm sick of this diabetes. And I'm sick of everything that the enemy has, I did to my body. Enemy didn't do it. I did it. I ain't giving him credit. I did it to my body. And I repented because I have almost destroyed this temple of the Holy Ghost. And I have taken God at his word. And it's like, okay, God, but you know what? I wouldn't trade God for nothing, for all the tea in China. He is the most wonderful thing that has happened to us. So we have got to learn how to open up the heavens over us. We have got to get in prayer time. Like Pastor Barbara's been preaching 50 years almost. She probably feels longer than that. And it's like nobody's listening. You know what I'm saying? But God, I believe it's time to bring this stuff out. We need to get alone with some prayer time with God. And I find myself now, after I get done my prayer and I open the heavens over me, I'm listening to God and he's telling me what to pray. And after I pray and I bring it down from heaven, the next thing I know, I'm interceding on the floor. And when it's broke, I start laughing because I know it's broke. And when I first went into the finances, when I first took it to God and I felt this release in me, I heard God say, we gonna party. So I know when these finances break, we gonna have one big party. And I mean, we're going to have a feast. But you know what? Before I entered my valley, I wanted to fast. I'm not a fasting person. I ain't going to lie about it. I can't stand fasting. But it was God And I mean, I was so excited about this fast. He told me what to do during this fast. And I mean, I couldn't wait to get started. It was for 3 days. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I had not gone on that 3-day fast, I wouldn't have made it. I know that's what brought me out of that valley. Because that valley was deep. And that valley was strong. But look what come out of it. You know, the revelations that God's given me. You know, I couldn't wait to share it with somebody. Every time he showed me something, I tried to call Pastor Barnum, no answer. I said, God, I got to tell somebody or I'm going to bust. You know? So I'd be walking around the store just talking to myself. You know? Saying what God is showing me and what God is doing in me. And when I called her the other day, I know, without a shadow of a doubt, when I need her, she's there. I know that. And I said, well, Lord, I guess I don't need her today because she didn't answer the phone. But I know God has put me with somebody that loves me unconditionally. And he knows he had to because I was hard-headed, I was stiff-necked, and I was rebellious. But according to me, I was on my way to heaven. When God showed me that I had went up in a chariot, and when I came back down, I had this sword in my hand, right? And when I woke up, I was still holding that sword in my hand. So I said, okay, God, now what am I going to do with this sword? I'm going to cut that devil up to pieces so he ain't never going to find his way back to be whole. But you know what? I love God so much. And I thank God for what he's doing. So my little 13-year-old rebellious stepson. And it's like, God, my kids never went through this stuff. But they did. I did too. You know? And it's like, you know, when Pastor Barbara said that when the baby's born, the devil's on one side and God's on the other side, and whoever grabs it, that's who it's going to serve. I said, Lord, I wish you had got me back then instead of making me good. But you know what? I got testimony. I got a testimony that somebody out there needs. And it's like these people that come into the pharmacy, they need it. But I can't give it to them. But you know what? I thank God because I've even taken some of our teachers that you have given us to give it to my boss because he's an elder in his church and he's enjoyed them. But I don't want to give what God has given in here. I don't want to reject it and God has to go out there and give it to somebody else. I want to be the one to go out there and say, hey, my God is real. Let me show you. Let me tell you what he did for me. And it says in this teaching that, I tell you one thing right now. Anybody wants a copy of this teaching, just let me know. We'll get you a copy somehow, somewhere, Brother Chris. Because this teaching, she goes into depth. But when I found out that I can get the glory of God, that I can have the open heaven over me, and that this word come from God himself through his prophets, through whoever, I know without a shadow of a doubt. And God told me there's going to be many more valleys. But I know he's going to bring me through because I've got an understanding. The word has come alive in my life. And I know that God, there's nothing that I can't have or that I can't do because of the word of God. because he has enabled me. He has set my feet on a solid rock. And he had to knock this rock off. But you know what? It hurt too. I ain't gonna lie about it. It hurt. And many times I wanted to quit. But then I remember how good God is. And how, you know, what he's brought me through. Because, and then this woman come up to me that I used to go to church with a long time ago. And she accused my husband of doing something, right? And because it was her, because I highly respected her as a prophet, I almost believed her. Almost. But then I got to thinking about it. I said, you know what? That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because it wanted me to turn on my husband, as I always did. They knew that they could always get me to turn on my husband because I believed what they said. But not this time. They ain't got me no more. They don't have no more stronghold in me. And it's like, you know, the devil tried to torment me with what she said. I said, devil, I don't believe it. I know it's not true. And I said, you ain't going to torment me with this either. I like telling him where he can go. I like telling him, you ain't going to control me no more. You are defeated in my life. Because God has opened up something precious to me. And that's how to get into his presence. And that's how to get his glory down here on this earth. And this is how we're going to conquer and be conquerors through Christ. Because God, devil didn't want this to be brought out. He wanted me to keep it a secret. But I got so hyped, man. I was telling Brother Allen. I was telling Nancy and Brett. I was telling Brother Chris. I was telling everybody. Because when God shows me something good for our good that's going to help us in our ministry, I don't want to keep it to myself. That's just the way I am. Everybody should know how to get in the presence of God. We have to get focused. We have to contend. God said in his word, contend with me. Bring my word back to me. And he's got to perform it. I don't know when the finances are going to come through, but I know one thing. Me and Michael, we won the battle. Michael won the battle. And he walked with me back from heaven to bring my finances. And I told God, I said, it's not only for me. It's for the whole church. So whatever mountain is in your way tonight, you go to God and you move that mountain into the sea. You get with God whatever you have need of tonight. Whatever mountain, sickness, finances, people you don't want to be around. God will bring peace. He knew I meant what I said. He ain't going to take you out of the situation, but he sure enough will give you peace to where you can handle it. But I thank God tonight. And I found this prophetic word. You know what? Back 2000, this prophetic word is from Marsha Burns. And it's back in 2010. And it's for right now. So the words that they've given back then is for right now. But she said one thing in here that I believe God wants to do tonight. And God said through her, come before me so that I may instruct you daily and direct you how to move forward without being touched or hindered by the confusion that will try to present itself. Because, see, that's what happened to me when I first started this. Confusion tried to set in. I said, this is God, and I'm going to do it. What I know is God, I do it. Now, when somebody, you know, somebody has a word for me or whatever, you can give it to me, but I take it straight to God. Because I don't want to be led wrong. It happened to me too many times. I love you all. You got a word for me? Give it. Don't hold nothing back from me. Because when Pastor Barbara stood up here that Sunday, and she said that if I didn't get this intercession stuff right, God gonna take it. I know you ain't, Lord. You ain't taking my anointing. You're gonna increase it, but you ain't gonna take it because I ain't gonna give it up. But you know, God knows exactly what to do to get your attention, to get you to seek his face. And it's just like I told Pastor Barbara, if I can't say hallelujah, I'll say ouch. Because it hits hard. But anyway, God said, come before me so that I may instruct you daily and direct you how to move forward without being touched or hindered by the confusion that will try to present itself. Come before me to receive an overcoming anointing that will strengthen your heart and determine your purposes, says the Lord. For even in the midst of these things, I am anointing my champions to come forth, to conquer, to uproot, to build, and establish my kingdom in the earth. In worship, you will find my peace. You will find my deliverance. And answers shall fall out of the heavens. So tonight, God wants you to come forth. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. I got excited. First thing in the morning is when you have to go before God. When you have to get in his presence. That's why you have to work through the yawning. You know, the roaming of the minds, what you got to do that day or whatever, you know. First thing, I do it first thing in the morning because it'll take you through all day. You will have peace that you never thought was possible. You will feel the glory of God on you all day. And it will help you through situations that you know without the Spirit of God you can't handle. And that's why I can stay in my home, because before I wanted to leave because I couldn't handle it. You can't handle this stuff in the flesh. You can't do it. I've tried it. But you have to make it a point. And you have to know that you know that you know that you're in the presence of God. And where does that peace come from? It comes in your mind. The glory sets on your mind. Because that's what the enemy's trying to destroy, your mind. But every morning, I'll go in and sit on my side of the bed. I'll put my music on. I put my, Chris Tomlin CD. And as I'm listening, as you know, because he helps bring in the anointing, because he's highly anointed, I'll be sitting there and I'll start praising God. I'll say, okay, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I come before your presence with praise. I enter your gates with thanksgiving. I need the heavens open over me. And then the next thing I know, it's like this love. I just got to praise him. Then the tears start falling. So I know he's there. And then, you know, he just takes you over. And it tells you in that study to pray in the Holy Spirit, to pray in tongues, to get your mind right. because that helps get your mind right. It helps settles you down. It helps you get focused. And then after I do that, because sometimes you might have a dream that messes you up, you know, or your mind's all cluttered with what you have to do that day. So you need a little extra help. So you call upon the Holy Spirit for his help. And the praying in the Spirit brings forth the peace. And then you can go ahead and do what you got to do. But you know what? I read an article. I forget who it was by now. But it says, have you ever asked God what was on his heart? Have you ever asked God, God, what can I do for you today? That's what started the whole thing. It says, you know, so I went before God. I said, God, what can I do for you today? Can I give somebody a smile? Can I help somebody through a problem? Can I, you know, give somebody a prayer? Can I give somebody a hug that needs a hug? What can I do for you? And that takes you right off the platform. And it's like, you know, when you put his agenda first, that really gets his attention. But I do it first thing in the morning. And it's like, I got to. Since I've been doing it, and I've been experiencing everything that's going on and happening in my life, I got to do it first thing in the morning. And it's like, you know, I can't do without it no more. I've got to have it. So that's why she deals with a lot of rebellious people, so she doesn't have to deal with me. Well, hopefully that's changing. But I praise God. So God wants you to come up tonight and come to him. And he wants you to receive an overcoming and anointing that will strengthen your heart and determine your purposes. He's anointing his champions to come forth to conquer, to uproot, to build, and establish his kingdom in the earth. In worship, you will find his peace. You will find your deliverance, and answers shall fall out of heaven. So just receive it tonight in Jesus' name, and you will find your lives changing and being rearranged by the Spirit of God.